This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
What do you say we kind of go back a little bit in history, but just to week three of this year? Let's go back to that Patriots and Ravens Sunday night game. Todd, you remember, a lot of controversy surrounded this one, and it was a very emotional game. Remember, this was the game that Ravens wide receiver Torrey Smith, he learned of his brother's death just 24 hours before the game. He had his best performance of the year, 6 receptions, 127 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Pats ended up losing in the final seconds of the game, 31-30. You know, they were coming off a loss in that game. They lost to the Falcons. They started off the year 1-2. But, you know, since those two losses in the first three games of the year, they only had 2 more losses the final, 13 games. So that was pretty impressive. That was really kind of a tipping point for the Patriots. You know, you think of a loss as, you know, a negative, but I think that had a really positive effect on this team.
I think the positive effect for the Patriots, wasn't it the very next week? When
they played the Bills.
They were struggling against the Bills, and then they just exploded in that third, fourth quarter to just destroy them. But, yeah, because at that point, against the Bills, Bill, they were 1-2, struggling with the Bills. And you're like, oh, my God, they'd be 1-3, you know?
Yeah.
And then they turned it around. I think that's the game they really turned it around. I mean, that Ravens game, I don't even know. Did that kick go through, Kevin? You were in the stadium. Did Justin Tucker's 27-yarder go through?
I thought it was good.
You were in Baltimore then?
I wasn't there, but I think it's good.
I thought you were at that game, no?
No, I didn't go to that one, but I think it's good.
Well, not only was that kick a questionable controversy, but also that pass interference play on Devin McCourty to set up that Justin Tucker game-winning field goal, right? Wasn't there like some controversy about that pass interference? Really wasn't kind of like a touch play?
Yeah, there were some questionable things going on in that game. I mean, Kevin, what was your thought coming out of that game as a Patriots fan? Were you thinking you were robbed a little bit?
No.
Just a hard-earned loss?
I thought it was a hard-fought game between both teams, and I thought they made the plays in the fourth quarter to win. I thought the Patriots kind of took a little bit of a leak down their leg and let a lead get away in the fourth quarter, which then became a little bit of a troubling trend in that Seattle game. And I thought, oh boy, you know, we might be in for some trouble here this season. And then, like usual, they went on their patented second half run, only lost one game, and, you know, arguably had a really good chance to win that game. I didn't think they were hard done or robbed in that game. There's a lot of footy pajama wearing Patriot fans that think that, oh, you know, the kick wasn't good and we were robbed and this, that, and the other thing. I don't buy into that.
Now, in that game, Joe Flacco had 382 yards. Best game of the year, yardage-wise. Todd, take a guess at how many 300-yard games Joe Flacco had this year.
18 games now he's played?
Yes, he had three. Probably. Well, I'm not including the playoff. If you want to include the playoff game, that's fine.
All right, I'll say he had three.
Three? Kevin, yeah. What do you got?
Put me on the spot. I'll go two.
Two?
Yeah.
Including the playoff game, he had 6.
Jesus.
6 games, but the most came against the Patriots back in week 3. 382 yards, 3 touchdowns, just 1 interception.
Yeah.
And he didn't get sacked that game. No sacks. That's going to have to change this weekend if the Patriots want to advance to the Super Bowl.
Well, Wacko for Flacco, Bill. That was your motto in September.
It was after that big game against the Patriots. You see a quarterback get 382 for 3 touchdowns.
Did you guys?
I was a little wacko for Flacco.
Did you check out that NFL film sound effects thing that aired last night?
No, I missed it.
So they had, you know, they always mic up some players, and in the playoffs, it's even more kind of entertaining because there's so few games. So they only had 4 games from last weekend, and they mic'd up like 2 or 3 guys on each team.
Right.
And Suggs was one of those guys, and when Denver was in the hurry up. And, you know, getting up to the line of scrimmage and Peyton's making his calls and you see Peyton kind of in the background of the shot of Suggs, you know, waving his arms and making the call. And Suggs is just trying to get his defense, you know, set and in the proper position quickly. And he starts making this, like, arm gesture, like kind of a raise the roof, but just with one arm. Yeah. And literally their call for whatever defensive set they were in was a Raven noise. He was going, ca-caw, ca-caw, And he did it like repeatedly. They kept showing him the whole game. Like he'd be like check, 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 caca, caca. It was insane.
Wait, the Raven noise is different than the one that you play?
Yeah, it's absolutely different.
Oh,
I need to get this one.
All birds sound alike.
Because T Sizzle, as much as I hate him, does a spot on Raven imitation.
T Sizzle.
Yeah.
That's what we're going.
I've never heard an actual team use like their mascot's like noise as a call.
What do you want the Patriots to do? Recite the Declaration of Independence?
Fire their muskets or something? I don't know.
They're quoting Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, they wear pantaloons.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of an interesting little thing. And he was like,
that was totally unrelated to Joe Flacco.
They brought him over to the bench and he's in the defensive huddle and they're going with the squeegee board and they're drawing up stuff. Mm. And he's just like, you guys got to pay attention to me. I got the call. And he's like, ca-ca, ca-ca, even on the bench. It was insane.
Okay. If you say so, I'm going to have to look for that now.
Just a sucker for bird noises.
Well, hey,
you really are.
You do. You know, you do have an off-season project ahead of you here. You've got to make.
You have to look for all. There's a lot of birds.
Yeah, how many are there? Let's go through them. Ready? Ravens, Falcons, Eagles, Cardinals, Seahawks. That's five. Am I missing any?
That was too easy for you.
Well, I mean, I'm a connoisseur when it comes to NFL teams.
He likes fowl. Bill loves fowl.
I love the bird fowl, yeah. Now, there's five teams. You can't come up with five different sound clips.
I can, and I will.
The Eagles, for the Eagle, you just have to play, like, the Screeching Eagle with, like, an American flag theme behind it.
Yeah,
you know,
with, like, the national anthem behind it.
Yeah, right. The Seahawk, I think we have it right with the foghorn. I don't know what you're going to do for a falcon.
I could get, like, a
you know what you
could
do for a falcon?
Noise.
That commercial when he's like, oh, I should have got a falcon. You know that guy, that commercial? When he's walking around with, like, a...
Isn't it like a rock falcon or something? It gives, like, the, the hook 'em horns type thing with his feathers.
I don't know.
There was one commercial with like a rock falcon, like a rock and roll falcon.
Maybe.
But I don't know. We got to go to break.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We're a very exciting show planned. Steve Tasker, 7-time All-Pro and CBS sideline reporter, is going to join us in the next segment. He'll be at Gillette on Sunday. So we look forward to hearing what he says about this game. More Football Nation coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Bill and Todd hanging out on Patriots.com radio. Steve Tasker, CBS reporter and seven-time All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills, joins us now via the Ace Ticket Hotline. Steve, thanks so much for joining us here on Football Nation.
Thanks for having me on. It's happy to be here.
There's a big game this weekend, rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. You'll be on the sidelines for CBS. What's your take on this matchup?
Well, it's hard to come in for anybody to come in and beat the Patriots at home. I think they're really good in their building. Now, I was on the sidelines as well earlier in the year when San Francisco came in, and remember they jumped up 31-0 before the Patriots came back and tied that game up and almost won it.
Right.
But it's tough to come in and do that. Now, the teams you play in the playoffs at this level, like we saw last year in this same game with Baltimore, they have the people and the personnel and the attitude to come in and do it. So it's not. I don't think it's going to be a two-score game at the end of it. So it's going to come down to each team making fewer mistakes than the other.
Steve, take us into the whole rematch aspect of this game. And when you were with the Bills, you know, you play everyone in the AFC East twice. You probably had a lot of rematch games in the playoffs. Is there anything from a game planning standpoint that you used to do back with the Bills when you were facing a team for the second or maybe even the third time in a season?
Well, I think you put wrinkles in on top of things that have already hurt that team. If you had some success doing some stuff against a team, you put a wrinkle in because you know they're spending a lot of time bearing down on those particular aspects of your offense or defense, and they're going to have them done. So you want to put something in that looks a lot like the same thing but will take advantage of what they would do to stop it. So you want to put those kind of wrinkles in, but by the same token too, you don't want to try and beat them left-handed. You got to do what you do. And maybe if you put those wrinkles in, maybe you get one, maybe two big plays out of them, and that's enough in a game like that. But you come in knowing those teams really well. I've been in parts of rematches. When you come out on the short end of the stick the first time, you come back and really want a piece of those guys. Yeah. The second time around. Third time around is kind of, well, now how do you do it? You know, if you beat them that last time. So it's I think it might be a little less prevalent as a motivating factor coming in for the third time around. You know, you think about the last year's championship game and then the time they played this year in the regular season. So I think that will minimize, you know, whatever emotional boost you get from what happened in the other two games.
Right. Now you mentioned, you know, throwing in some extra wrinkles here for two teams that know each other relatively well. If you're the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens this weekend, you know, who or what on that Patriots defense, which definitely has some holes in it, you know, what are you trying to exploit?
Well, first of all, you got to wonder exactly what the Patriots are going to do and who they're going to try and take away. My best guess would be Ray Rice is going to be bottled up if the Patriots can do it. They did that to Arian Foster really well last weekend. And when you've got a running back, particularly one like Ray Rice, who's as versatile as the Ravens use him, and they use him all over the field, and he's a focal point. I would say that the Patriots are probably going to spend a lot of time and effort knowing exactly where he is and getting a good handle on what he's doing. So you can bet Ray Rice doesn't go anywhere without somebody in his hip pocket. Other than that, then you just kind of see what they – then you're asking, you know, like I said earlier, the Patriots will say, okay, if Baltimore's going to beat us, they're going to have to do it without their best guy. You know, they're going to have to beat us left-handed, and we'll see if you can do it.
Steve, as a player, let's get your perspective from your days with the Buffalo Bills. You played in four AFC championship games. Now, most of these players on the Ravens and Pats, they're veteran guys, played in this game last year. Does the mental preparation for this game get any easier once you played in big games like this before?
Yeah, I mean, I actually played in five of them, and
we
got beaten our first one, and then we went to four straight 2 years later, and won all four of them. And I think the thing that you get at in those championship games when you keep coming back to them is a confidence, not just in what you're able to do, but also, and I think the important thing is you get confident in your preparation. You know you're ready. You know what. You know that you're not going to leave anything unturned. You're not going to get caught with your pants down and do something stupid in the preparation of this game. You're going to be ready. And that's a great, great security blanket for a team to go in there knowing that they got a coaching staff they trust. They've done it before, and they're going to go out and you know, the thought is they're going to do it again, and this time they're going to win. So I think it really helps in your confidence in preparation because that's, you know, these games, even the ones at this level, is – when they come down to the fine-tooth comb and there's just one or two plays that make the difference in these games, you still win these games Monday through Saturday in the NFL.
So, Steve, take us down on the sideline now. You know, it seems very chaotic when we watch you on the sideline or any sideline reporter when there's a major injury and you're scrambling for information. Can you just take the audience kind of through what happens? Let's say someone's injured, limps off the field with the help of their coaches. What happens on your side of the equation there? What do you have to do? Who do you have to talk to try to get information out to the TV audience?
Well, here's what you do. I mean, we watch the guy come off the field, and I make observations. And guys, well, you know, CBS uses old players like me, and Solomon Wilcots will be on the other side of the field this weekend. So you got a lot of experience with guys like us who have been dragged off the field ourselves and also had teammates do it. You watch them real close, and you get a sense of what they're doing. If the guy's trying to shake it off, you know, and walk around, you kind of get a sense of whether he thinks he's going to be able to come back in or not. If he, you know, heads the bench, sits down, and he can't move and doesn't want to move and doesn't get up and try and shake it off, and the doctors are there, and they're not leaving, that gives you more and more sense of what's going on. But technically speaking, then the team doctors will tell the people on the bench of the Patriots, their PR people on the Patriots bench. Each team has one. Then he'll tell his superiors up in the booth upstairs, and then those guys upstairs disseminate the information. I could be standing there and know exactly what's going on, but we're not allowed to say anything until it goes through the proper line.
That's what I wanted to get to, was what you're allowed to say and do.
I can give opinions about what I see and use my experience to formulate those opinions. But I can't give any definitive information about that until the team says, hey, he's questionable, doubtful, probable, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. That's interesting, Bill. I mean, you know, as we're watching these
Well, that's one
on
of the reasons CBS kind of stays away from sideline reporters, because it's a little bit of a misnomer of saying that I'm right there and I'm telling you what they're telling me.
Right.
Basically,
right.
That's not really the case. That it has to go through
proper channels,
protocols upstairs, and then it actually goes out to our trucks, and then they say, yeah, okay, go ahead and go with the information, and I'll go. But until that time, all I can do is give what my opinions and my observations are without anything from the team being official.
Steve Tasker is our guest. He's from CBS. He'll be at Gillette Stadium this weekend for the AFC Championship game. Played a seven-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Steve, I want to bring something up with you right now, because I read a report online that people often confuse you as the Bills player who knocked the ball out of Leon Lett's hand. why is this confusion? Why
that
do people
happens
assume
to me
it's you?
Three times a month, somebody will come up to me and congratulate me on running Leon Lett down in that Super Bowl where we lost 6,000-2 or whatever it was. And I don't know why it is. I think they just take it for granted. They know it was a guy about my size, white guy, and they think it was me, you know? The problem is I made a mistake years ago, because it was such a cool play, and it was a play that even our whole team was very proud of Don for making it. But
sure.
It, it, I told him years ago, I said, Don, I promise you I'll never take credit for it. I just should have said, you know what, I just should say thank you. You know, I had no idea that 20 years later people would still be doing it, but they do.
That's great.
It does. It happens three or four times a season. And I know they mean well, but I honestly do take the time to correct them when I do it.
All right, that's great. And Steve, any last minute thoughts about the game this weekend? You want to make a prediction real quick?
Well, I always go with the home team in this situation. It's tough to beat. You work long and hard to get that home field advantage, and I think there's some tangible evidence that it really holds true. I think it's tough to go into New England and beat the Patriots. Particularly at this time of year when they're playing so well, even without Gronkowski, and even though they lost Woodhead last week, they hung 35 points on one of the top five defenses in the league.
Right.
If you're going to beat the Patriots this weekend, you're going to have to score 35 or 40 points to do it. Now, Baltimore could. Joe Flacco has been really impressive this postseason, and he's a money quarterback in my mind. That guy gets it done in the postseason. So I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Baltimore Ravens will score some points on them. But I still think you have to tip it in favor of the home team.
Any feelings on the NFC Championship game?
Well, as soon as I say that, I think Colin Kaepernick is the most intriguing player in the playoffs this year.
Right.
I can't wait to see him play against Atlanta. And if I was going to pick a visiting team in one of these two games, no question, it's the 49ers down in Atlanta.
So you have the Pats and the Niners in the Super Bowl 47 down in New Orleans.
I think so, yeah.
All right, Steve, we appreciate you joining us here on Football Nation. You can follow Steve on Twitter at SteveTasker89 and look for Steve during Sunday's AFC Championship game on CBS. Steve, have fun. Have fun and good luck.
Hey, thanks for having me on. See you then.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
That is Steve Taskerville. That is not Don Beebe.
Not Don Beebe, but he you know, credit to Steve for not taking claim to that play. Because that Leon Lett play is probably one of the most played highlights from the Super Bowl,
ever.
I don't know, maybe ever, yeah.
The most played play that really had no significance in the game, you know what I
right.
mean?
Yeah, because he said it, they blew us out, you know, 3,000-3.
Yeah, but you know what? Put yourself in Steve's shoes, Bill. Like, that play happens, and, you know, for a couple of years, you get patted on the back around Buffalo. Hey, great hustle there, we love that play. And he said, that wasn't me, that was Don. But
yeah.
After like a year or two of that, you just go, you know what? What the hell? I'm just going to go along with it, right? Go along with it.
Yeah.
What's a little white lie, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of like a different stratosphere, but how about the holy, you know, Manti Te'o, little white lie, fake girlfriend type thing going on?
God. Let's get into that in the next
one. We'll get into that later. But this wouldn't be that bad, right? Thanks for the accolades. Yeah, you know, it was a good play. We had a rough game, but it was a good play.
Yeah, just go along with it.
I think I'd go along. After a couple years of passing the credit, rightfully so, to Don Beebe. I think I would have to, just for kicks.
He gets approached three or four times a year or a month about that game or about that play. The two other interesting things that he talked about, and I didn't really know this, is one, you know, CBS doesn't use a sideline reporter very often, and now that he said it, I'm trying to think, and now I can't even remember who their reporter would be. I don't remember seeing any.
Well, you know, but if you think about what he said, I kind of like the philosophy that CBS is taking.
With the player.
Salman Wilcox and Steve Tasker, because they've been there, they know what's going on. And, yeah, of course, a lot of former players are in the media now. But they don't have a lot of that. You see it a lot in college football, Bill. You see a lot of just terrible interviews and terrible sideline reporters that really add nothing to the broadcast. I honestly think Steve Tasker brings a lot to the broadcast. I enjoy him. They don't go to him enough, or maybe they go to him just enough. Maybe that's why, you know.
Right.
It's interesting because the whole sideline reporter thing in this day and age of Twitter, and I mean, you can get instant breaking news on Twitter before a sideline reporter gets it to you many times, you know. So it's a whole different age.
It always seems like whenever a player goes down, they're categorized in three words: probable to return, unlikely to return, or questionable to return. It's always those three. It's never anything more than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, pretty much. You know, they don't want to give you any information.
Right.
They don't want the other team to know what's going on.
And that's what he said. They pass it up to the Patriots or, you know, whatever team X's P PR staff, and then they pass it back down to whoever the sideline reporter is. I thought that was pretty interesting, too.
Hey, Kevin, you're kind of our own sideline reporter there at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to go up to Steve and thank him on
Yeah, he
Sunday.
Was great. He was great.
I'll go find him. I'll be like, hey, it's Don Beebe.
That would be awesome.
That would be good.
No, see, I don't think people confuse him for Don Beebe. I think people think that Steve Tasker was the one that made the
But it would be funny, though, if, like, he was standing, like, you know, 5 or 10 feet away. Those guys are always around me when I'm down there. And I'm just like, yo, man, you Don Beebe.
Hey, Don, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, right.
But, Kevin,
watch
what I was going to say
Watch out for the firework display.
Yeah, no kidding. Stay away from the pyrotechnics.
Light Don Beebe on fire.
Kevin, so do you have any, I know obviously you're not reporting on anything from the sideline, but I mean, do you have any, you know, stories from your time with the Patriots of a player, you don't have to get into specifics, but players that, you know, were more hurt than they let on and you could just see it on the sideline. Then you see him maybe go back out in the game and you're like, oh,
all the time.
God.
And I also can kind of tell,
don't get in any trouble.
No,
stories.
I can tell from, body language or, you know, people that I know with knowledge of the situation, what's wrong with the player or how bad it is before that information is released. But
what are you, the mentalist?
No. I mean, I'm just trying not to give out any information. That's all.
He's trying to keep his job.
Yeah. I like my job. It's good stuff.
Judging by body language of the team's doctor's
secretary. Going back to the,
I can tell exactly what the specific injury is.
Going back to I think that was the last show we were talking about the movie 300 and like King Leonidas or whatever. But, you know, they give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down like they did in the Roman Coliseum, you know. Whether they're going to take him to the glue factory or not. So
that wasn't 300. That was Gladiator.
Or whatever it was.
So it's like this. I can picture it like this, Kevin, okay? And this is all fictitious, but like the last game, Gronk comes to the sideline.
Yes.
Okay? He's hurt. And you just give a look to like your guy, whoever you're in front
of. It's actually telepathic.
Right, and you just give him the look, and he gives a look back, and he just puts his hand out.
Yep.
He puts his hand out with the thumb sideways, and then the thumb goes.
It's like Shawshank Redemption when the guy wants the other guy killed, and he puts the cigarette down the ground and puts it out with his foot, and then the guy kills him. Something like that.
That's how it is.
But, yeah, no, it's part, like, I think that any reporter or team employee that's down there in that mess, if they try to tell you that they don't know what's going on or don't have a better idea than anybody else, then they're lying. Because you see and hear things, and when you're in that general coach's box area, like, you're going to come across stuff. It's just a matter of, you know, following protocol and... Sounds like Steve Tasker does a good job of that. He doesn't want to lose his job either. But you know, the other thing is, guys, when we're talking about this, those NFL Films guys that do these, you know, football life things and all inside documentaries like sound
they
effects.
They have
and
all that audio.
They have all that audio and all that information, but it's a matter of, you know, it has to go through the league first or go through the team that you work for first and get approval to be released or made public. And, you know, the Patriots have been notorious, and they do a really good job of hiring guys that, you know, don't have loose lips because we all know they sink ships.
Well, you know, one hand washes the other in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
You start talking and all of a sudden, you know, you get your pass revoked.
Yep. So, yeah, that's what it is.
What I'm about to say is going to come off as really shallow, but that's the kind of person I am. As a fantasy football player, I look to the sideline reporter for some, you know, for some insight. When a player gets injured, you know, I guess I want him to not to be seriously injured, but I really want to know if he's going to come back into the game and put up some more stats. So I look to the sideline reporter for some information about their injury, and I always get it. Probable to return, questionable to return, doubtful to return.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't help me.
No, it really doesn't.
Bill, it's fantasy. Once the game started and he's hurt, it doesn't matter. He's in your lineup. You want the information prior to kickoff. That's what you want.
I want it during – if you're in a close game and you have player X going and you need – Y amount of points from him, and he goes out with an injury, you're not panicking at that point, and all of a sudden, I got to know if he's coming back in. I want to know what's going to happen. You know, I follow my team with, like a hawk.
I hear you. But for me, the information I need is an injury is pregame.
Before the game, I guess. Yeah.
Once he's in the starting lineup and, you know, your
But I think
is locked.
I think you get a lot of good – And this is, you know, bringing Twitter into the conversation. I think you get a lot of great informational tweets from these beat writers who watch these guys go through warmups, and you see a guy like and not that Sebastian Vollmer is a fantasy player because he's a lineman, but for example, Sebastian Vollmer on our team, the tackle, went through just a wide variety of back issues this year. And it seemed like every week we weren't sure if he was going to play. And you would get all these great tweets like a half an hour, 45 minutes before the game, and he's out there trying to like work through it and whatever. And then if you go back even further, these writers are now getting into the press box like 3 hours early, 4 hours early, and you're seeing guys come out in shorts and T-shirts and run around. And you're getting all these tweets on like, okay, you know, he's being worked out by so-and-so, the team trainer, and he's clutching his back or he's grimacing. And you're getting all this great detail.
Yep.
And, you know, Todd, Bill, and even me now doing the pregame show, you know, you're watching your TV and you're either watching a game that's on before it or you're watching the pregame coverage or you're watching a fantasy show, and you're now getting access in that stadium that no other fan really has had before.
Right, and Bill, I mean, Bill, you do a live broadcast every Sunday morning as this information's coming in for the champs.
Yeah.
So when Bill's actually live on camera getting information. So, you know, I look to Bill, quite frankly. I'm patting you on the back there, Bill. I look to Bill for my information, too, for the pregame.
But, I mean, and we're even talking about stuff that's happening before the stadium gates are even open.
Right.
So, you know, not even the fans that are at the game are able to see this stuff. And the writers are up in the press box or whatever, and most of them are pretty diligent, at least in our market. And you're getting, you know, you're getting the tweet 4 hours before kickoff. Oh, like, here's what the field looks like or whatever. And everyone makes fun of all these guys as to who's going to get the first picture of, like, the field or whatever, wherever they're playing.
Right.
But then, like, as you get into, like, let's say 3 hours before kick or even 2 hours before kick, right when they're trying to make the determination on these guys, is he going to be active or inactive, right? Because they got to get the roster number down. These guys will be worked out by the strength and conditioning coach and the trainer, and you'll see them do like a one-on-one drill with another player, or you'll see them do agility drills, and you're getting like a play-by-play, blow-for-blow of what's going on with them before they're made active or inactive. So I think that that's a great new insight for like the general public sitting at home on Twitter or sitting, you know, in the parking lot waiting to come in and trying to figure out how do I start my fantasy team this week. I mean, so I can see what you're talking about, Bill, but there's so much information now that I think it's almost becoming overloaded. Like, if you have guys, you can't have guys like Steve Tasker or guys like me or whoever just like speculating, or even if they know something to be fact, you know, releasing information that shouldn't be released to the, you know, the general public. I mean, I understand the thirst for knowledge, but I just think that there has to be some sort of a line in this day and age with all this information and social media.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, think about it.
Like, I still want my information.
But think about it.
You know,
say,
I don't care
say a guy, say me, for example, like use me as an example. Say I go and I have a hunch, okay, you know, Gronk goes down in that game last week and I think, oh, he broke his arm or whatever. And I see something or hear something from a doctor or a trainer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think that it's just too that like the fans, I don't feel like we owe them that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Why not?
I feel like it's going to come out eventually in its own due course, and there are rules that the league put in place, you know, with the injury report and this, that, and the other thing. I just feel like from a competitive standpoint, you don't owe the public or your competition or the league an explanation of this guy's injury, like, while the game is going on.
I mean, what competitive – listen, if Gronk is out on the sidelines and he's not in the game, your opponent knows that. They see what's going on.
Yeah, but first of all, they don't know if he's coming back or if he's not coming back.
But so what? They know he's not currently playing.
And then the other thing is, from a competitive standpoint moving forward, like, should they win the game, it's like, you know, if you're already ruling him out, okay, the guy broke his arm, this, that, and the other thing, I don't even think – he's still listed on the injury report right now with a wrist, I believe it was, when it came out yesterday. But they haven't IR'd him or said, you know, declared him out for the playoffs even yet, because I don't know. I guess my guess is there's something that we don't know, or some, you know, tactic that's going on where they want to still put it in another team's mind, like, okay, he's still active, like, we can still play him.
Why do you think the NFL makes it mandatory that they provide, that every team provides injury reports multiple times a week?
I don't know. I'm guessing it. If I had to guess, it would be more of a media thing than a fan thing.
They don't do it in college, Bill.
What?
They don't
make it mandatory in college.
No, I think that honestly, Bill, to piggyback your point, you could have a great discussion. You could do a whole show on the injury report and how much of a joke most teams make it out to be.
Right.
The Patriots will have 25 guys on there. They'll have half the freaking team on there.
Brady's and on
then,
every week.
And then here's the thing. They'll have, say they have 20 guys on there, right? And they have to declare, was a 53-man roster?
Yeah.
They have to declare like 7 or 8 of those guys, depending on what their number is, inactive for the game, okay? And of the 20 guys that are on the injury report, the 7 inactives will probably have not been on the injury report, which is, you know, they're just healthy scratches, to use a hockey term. And it's just so funny. And also to watch the injury report have gone from 20, 25 guys to now that we're in the playoffs, the Patriots, I think, have listed like 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all of a sudden from literally 1 week to another, or like 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks time,
everyone,
you know, 15, 20 guys are all healthy again. Which is complete BS, because you can tell, you know, I'm not going to give out names, but you can watch some of these guys in not only performance space, but how they move, how many snaps they play. Like, you can tell some of these guys aren't healthy. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist.
I just think during the game, you know, you can talk to me about competitive and not wanting to know if your opponent to know if a player is going to come back in. I just think all that's BS.
So Bill, like. So, for example, and while we're using Gronk as kind of an example, and also it's good because he's a good fantasy player, so it happens to work out.
Right.
So, say, you know, last week's game was, you know, the middle of the regular season, and you're fighting for playoff position in your fantasy league and this, that, and the other thing. When he goes out and leaves that game, and supposedly, according to the media, he had x-rays and this, you know, the reports are that he broke his wrist or, broke his forearm and is done.
Right.
Okay. So, during the middle of the game, I think that injury happened in the second quarter. So would you be looking for something, you know, let's say, to be fair, like by halftime, saying, okay, he's ruled out, he's broke his arm. Okay. I'm just curious as to what, you know.
And I'm not just talking about fantasy. I'm talking about from a fan perspective.
You don't want
to know if your top tight end or your favorite player is coming back into the game.
I would want to know from a fan perspective, but from a football, an operational standpoint, I just don't think that they owe that to you. That's just a disagreement,
Bill,
I guess.
I'm sure you've done this, Bill. You're in a stadium watching a game, right?
Yeah.
Something happens on the side. Someone gets hurt, limps off.
Right.
And you don't really know what's going on. You see everyone huddled, all the trainers huddled around. And then maybe 5 minutes later, someone in your section gets a text. And then suddenly, like wildfire, you can literally hear the news being passed along in this day and age. It's insane. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I totally.
You hear somebody like, "Oh, it's an ACL," and then you hear, "Oh, it's an ACL, it's an ACL," and then you hear it like throughout the stadium. You can almost hear a murmur throughout the entire 70,000 people.
Yep. Speak of the devil, gentlemen. The injury report came out about 10 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski yesterday was listed as a DNP, did not practice in a forearm. Today he is listed as placed on IR.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go, Bill. Bill's happy.
I'm not happy that Gronk's on IR. I'm happy that, you know, that my point is made. The NFL requires teams to put out an injury report for some reason.
So the Patriots have 5 additional guys listed. The names: Chandler Jones, Marquise Cole, Nick McDonald, Trevor Scott, Danny Woodhead. Jones was the only one limited. The others were full. Interesting little nugget here from the Ravens guys. Bernard Pierce, who suffered an injury in the Denver game and I believe did not return to that game afterwards.
Yeah.
And he's been getting a lot of touches, which as a Ray Rice owner really annoyed me during the regular season.
Right.
But he practiced yesterday with that knee injury but did not practice today. So maybe he had a setback.
Mm.
So that could be big for Sunday.
I read his interview yesterday. He said he's fine.
Well, why would he practice yesterday and then not practice
today?
Maybe
they want to rest him.
Maybe.
Why is Tom Brady
just
been on
curious.
The injury report since
he's
week
not,
one?
He's not on it now.
I'm just saying. He is every single week during the regular season, and he's fine.
Okay.
Well, Bill,
you could have a Band-Aid on your earlobe covering up an earring, and the Patriots put you on the injury report.
I think that's because I'm not speaking for them, but I just think that they don't really respect the whole process of the injury report.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I obviously think they're not the only team that does that, guys.
Of course not.
They're definitely not the only team that says it. But the fact of the matter is the NFL still requires a team to put out an injury report, whether it's based on fact, based on BS, or, you know, completely just, like, you know, filled with every Pro Bowler that your team has. The NFL still makes them do it, and they make them do it for a reason.
Well, I think
whether
it's a waste of
whether
time,
or not that's to satisfy the fans or to, you know, swing a certain something going down in Vegas, I don't know why. But they make them do it, and they make them do it for a reason. They don't just make them do it for no reason. I'm gonna ask Roger Goodell next time I see him. I'm gonna say
you were in his office last year.
I was.
And why didn't you ask then?
I should have. I was too focused on asking him about the NFL draft. I'll ask him.
You and Roger go way back?
Oh, big time.
I did not know he was related to the monkey lady, according to that official at the Rose Bowl game.
Jane Goodall.
Yes, Jane Goodell.
Speaking of messing up people's names, what is going on with the mayor of Boston?
He's having a tough time.
He's having a real tough time. We're going to talk about that next. The mayor of Boston for the, you know, a couple times this
it's
year.
A big market tease right there.
He's gotten some players' names wrong, and he did it again today during a conference call with the mayor of Baltimore. So we're going to talk about that next. And also we want to talk about the Ray Lewis countdown to retirement billboard that is caught fire on the internet that you can see on some of the Massachusetts highways. So if you're a Patriots fan, we want to know, do you like seeing that stuff? Do you get a little superstitious, or do you think it's just making Ray Lewis angry? Give us a call at 508-298-0398, or you can email in webradio@patriots.com. We want to hear from you. More Football Nation coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
Rolling rally.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800. What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. We're going to have some fun in this segment, guys. We're going to start it off with the mayor of Boston, Tom Menino. He screwed up Vince Wilfork's name. He screwed up Rob Gronkowski's name. Apparently, this has been a problem for him during his term as mayor of Boston. I want to know, as a Patriots fan, do you get mad when you see the mayor of Boston screwing up your star player's name? Call in 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We want to hear from you. What do you guys think? Kevin, you want to play the clip and kind
yeah,
of
let's,
get
let's
a feel
play
for
it.
What
here we
said?
Go.
Yeah, we have Tom Brady here. We have Tom Brady here. We have Tom Brady here. And Stephen Ridley. I mean, another great guy. And Wilfork, you know, Hernandez is going to do a great job. He sets in for Gonk because Gonk's hurt. We have a pretty – the defense is coming together.
Now, there's a whole lot of problems.
There's a lot to take from that.
A whole lot of problems, all right? First of all, Tom Brady's here. We know that Tom Brady plays for the Patriots. Thank you. The second thing is he's wearing a Vince Wilfork jersey, and he still can't get the guy's name right. It says Wilcox.
Let's get his mind on the man meat.
I don't know what he says there.
Loving that sausage.
Then he says Gonk. Gonk is hurt. It's Gronk. Like, you don't know Gronk? You don't know Rob Gronkowski? You call him Gonk? I mean, I understand you're the mayor of Boston. You got a lot of things going on. It's the Patriots.
Kevin just reported that Gonk is on IR.
Right. Now right?
Poor Gonk.
Poor Gonk.
Poor Gonk. I mean, he said Stephen Ridley correctly. He said Aaron Hernandez. He said Tom Brady's here 3 times. But he's wearing Vince Wilfork's jersey. And then you hear the PR lady or his assistant or somebody, you know, kind of correct him. Like, how degrading is that as a man? You have a woman correcting you on an NFL player's name that you're wearing his jersey.
Kevin, didn't he once call Wes Welker?
Yeah, I believe
so. Yeah, Wes Welker. Yeah, right.
Weckler.
In Vinatieri, he called, like, called Jason Veritek, the catcher of the Boston Red Sox. When Veritek kicked the ball through the uprights.
Right. That's a good one. He's got to just, you know, hire. I'll do it for him.
By the way, that's the feminist union on line one for Bill. Can't believe he had a woman corrector on an NFL player's name.
All I said is it must be degrading.
Yep, line one.
Yeah, well, call in 508-298-0398. Bill, I'll talk to anyone except you two ball busters.
I think that's the one problem that we have this time of year, guys, is now that we're like in the, you know, the AFC and NFC championship rounds, like the mayors all get involved. Like, yeah, all the towns do this.
It's so ridiculous.
It wasn't the Seahawks, I think the mayor's office is flying a Falcons flag because he lost a bet. Like, all these ridiculous mayors get involved and pretend like they care what's going on.
It's just, like, crazy because, right, they're pretending to know what's going on, and then they make royal screw-ups like this, and it just shows that they're complete frauds, like most politicians are. It's just ridiculous to me.
Well,
absolutely ridiculous.
We'll have to wait and see. It's too bad Gonk won't be in there, but luckily Wilcox should have a big game.
Yeah,
and
sure
I think
he will.
I think Weckler could make a difference too. He had a nice game last week, so Weckler, Brady to Weckler, a lot of Brady to Weckler.
Wince Wilford.
Apparently, this news already spread down to Hawaii, where John is calling us from. He joins us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. What's going on, John? What did you make of the mayor's comments?
I think we just got to give the mayor a break. You know, I think we just got to give him the benefit of it because I think to me his mouth stuffed with toothpick. That's all, guys. Have a great one.
Wait, John, before you go, don't hang up. Are you still there, John? Nah, he's gone. I wanted to ask him if he's ever met Monte Teo's girlfriend since he's from Hawaii.
He might actually be Monte Teo's girlfriend.
It could have been. That could have been him, yeah.
Well, she's here with me right now.
Good for you, Todd.
Yeah.
I actually saw a funny tweet today from WEEI, The Big Show. It was like labeled breaking news, like Glenn and Michael have first interview with Manti Te'o's girlfriend. It was just a picture of the both of them with an empty chair in the middle, and they both quizzical
looks.
Well,
haven't you seen it? I mean, basically what's going on now, Kev, is, you know, Tebowing, right? You know, pictures of Tebowing.
So they have Te'oing now or something?
Te'oing. You just hold your arm around nothing.
Interesting.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, yeah. Oh, boy. That's a whole other story. We don't have – how much time do we have, Bill?
I mean, not a lot. I want to get back to this Ravens-Patriots game because both teams have some bulletin board material. This Ray Lewis billboard that is counting down the days to Ray's retirement, is basically counting down the game to the AFC Championship, is popping up all over Massachusetts highways. It's on it's on I-93 and I-495. What do you guys make of this? Do you think it's in good fun? As a Patriots fan, Kevin, do you – you get a little superstitious and you don't really want to give the opposition.
I think it's all in good fun. It's all in good fun. If it was a player doing something stupid like that Brian whatever his face is, then I'd be more annoyed. But you know, he actually got a lot more tweets from his own fan base telling him to shut up, which was kind of funny.
Kevin is referring to Brendan Iabadejo.
Oh, you said that name just so well, Bill.
He practiced it all
day. I couldn't even get that thing out.
I practiced it all day.
I could see him, you know.
I didn't practice the mayor of Boston's name, but I got Brendan Iabadejo.
He comes out of the luxurious sauna in the Enright Estate,
yeah,
in a towel wrapped around his waist, you know, looking in front of the mirror, getting ready to shave, just saying, Iabadejo.
Yeah.
It's just like that Will Ferrell clip that you played a week ago, Kevin.
Out now, brown cow.
Yeah, from Anchorman.
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down into my belly.
I'm looking forward to Anchorman 2. But anyway, back to Iabadejo's tweets. This is what he said a couple days ago. And these are all quotes from his Twitter account. New England is some suspect stuff on offense. Can't really respect it. Comparable to a cheap shot before a fight. He later tweeted, are you watching the game versus the Texans? Are you watching the pass game versus the Texans? If you see the hurry snap offense catch them before they set up, it's a gimmick. Goes on to say, you know, the same organization that did Spygate and cut a guy before the Super Bowl. Now, you know, I have a problem with these tweets for a few reasons. One, why is it a gimmick just because they run the hurry up offense and the Texans D-line or their entire defense wasn't ready on that Shane Vereen run? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Take advantage of the opposition when they're not prepared? I mean, that's what football's about, isn't it?
I just don't understand. Twitter is such an evil thing for some of these players. College,
only
pro,
if
whatever.
Only if they don't understand how to use it. I mean,
well, what is he thinking? He's like, okay, he's you know, they played on Saturday, right? So
yeah, Saturday
Sunday
night.
He's watching the Patriots game.
Right.
He's like, I think I'm going to go on Twitter now and bash the Patriots.
Just
I think that's the thing
sense.
I'm going to do right now.
He later apologized. This is a quote. I made selfish comments on Twitter last night. It took him a full day to apologize. I made selfish comments on Twitter last night that reflected poorly upon myself, my teammates, and the organization. For that, I apologize. He doesn't apologize for calling the Patriots out and calling their offense gimmicky. I think the Patriots are doing what they're supposed to be doing. You run the hurry-up play when the defense isn't ready. It led to a touchdown. They scored. That is the point of the game.
Well, of course. I mean, this guy's just an idiot. And, again, it was a much simpler time back in, like, the 80s. No internet, no Twitter. You know, nobody's walking around with iPhones, you know, videotaping every move.
Well, Todd, you didn't have to go back that far.
Twitter
was like 2005.
Maybe. Well, that's true, too.
You could have said the early part of the decade if you wanted.
Todd goes back to when that big, like, meteor thing hit and the dinosaurs all died.
Yeah. Oh, back in the 80s? Well, why did you just jump back 35 years?
That was a hot time there.
Bill and I were just in diapers. Gold-plated diapers.
Yeah, barely.
Oh,
anyway, all this bulletin board material, it's you figure that you just want to shut up before the game, right? You just want
to
leave.
Well, that's why all of his fans or all the Ravens fans would tell him to shut up, because it's true. Why do you don't want any? Why would you want to get the Patriots angry? Why?
Know.
You know what I mean?
No idea.
There's no point. There's no point at all. Could you imagine if there was Twitter, Bill, back when like the Miami Hurricanes of the 80s were around?
The U invented swag.
Yeah, could you imagine that? Michael Irvin and those guys.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
Done you! Well, you know, it'll be fun bulletin board material, Bill, but I mean, really, that will have no bearing on this game whatsoever. None. Zero.
What did you, you don't think it'll have any bearing on
I think
game?
It's no. more, I think
you don't
it's...
Think, you don't think the Patriots are using that to kind of get fired up?
I think
he's calling.
Wait. So let's go back just one second.
Yeah, go ahead.
So you're saying that you don't think Ian Badejo's tweets have any effect, and the Patriots paid no attention to it?
See, I'm not saying that. No. I'm saying when it's third and two, a critical.
Oh yeah,
third
you're
down,
not thinking about that.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah, during the game, I don't think they're gonna go into the huddle. We gotta get him now, and guys. Tweet.
On the same token, I don't think that the Ravens on third and two, when lining up, are thinking, "Oh, I gotta do this for Ray."
The Ray Lewis.
I'm not doing it for Ray to win him a championship. I'm thinking, you're doing it for you. You're doing it for your team. Whatever reason you're doing it for, but you're not thinking on every play, "Oh, I gotta do this for Ray Lewis."
What if Ray's right in your ear and he goes,
"Oh, well, then maybe."
You know,
you must,
do it for me, bud. You know,
or T. Suggs is in the other ear going, "Caca, caca."
Yeah, you got the crow in one ear. You got, you know, Ray Lewis in another ear. I think that might be motivational.
Yeah, I think, though, that those tweets were definitely seen in the New England locker room.
The minister and
totally.
The Raven.
Yeah, and I think that just, you know, it's my own personal take. It doesn't have to be shared by everybody, but I think it's one thing if a fan says something stupid or a group of fans put up billboards or whatever, and I think it's completely different if an actual player from the opposition.
A player or a coach.
You know what I mean? I think it's just major. I think that's when it becomes bulletin board material.
Todd, I know you saw this, but Kevin, did you see Stephen Ridley's ridiculous outfit today? He was wearing rainbow bright.
What are you calling ridiculous? He's got style.
Listen to me. I don't know a lot about fashion, but I know he looked like a ridiculous, absurd outfit today. He was wearing rainbow bright moon boots during an interview.
I think he's classy.
Come on, dude.
You stay classy, Stephen Ridley. Don't listen to Bill.
See the backpack he had? I'm sure that backpack was like a $10,000 backpack.
Yeah, you saw his onesie this year, right?
Right.
He's wearing like it again.
He loves his onesie.
Onesie pajama on with this ridiculous.
So it's comfortable. It's cold. It's cold up here, guys. It's getting chilly.
The boots, rainbow bright boots.
Got the boots, got the onesie. Got to stay warm.
Go to facebook.com/footballnationllc. I put a picture of it before the show. It's an absurd outfit. I'm sorry. I don't think Coach Belichick appreciates that kind of thing. I really don't.
It's Mork and Mindy.
What
even
is
know
Mork
what I'm talking
Mindy?
About? Mork
oh,
and Mindy.
Robin Williams?
The hell's yeah, Mork and Mindy?
It's an old show. Never mind.
Robin Williams with he's an alien,
yeah.
Right?
He wore those kind of boots and onesies and stuff. So
rainbow bright. That's where I know it from.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was ridiculous. I can't believe he would wear something like that this week.
So what do you think? Do you think that that's bulletin board material for the Ravens? They're putting that up in their locker room?
They're saying we're not going to let this guy beat us, right?
Hey, Kevin, on a more serious note, what's up with Danny Woodhead this week?
I think he's all right. He practiced full today, so I would say he's okay.
Did he practice full yesterday?
I think he was limited yesterday, full today.
So maybe he had a setback yesterday.
Maybe.
But he's fine today?
But he's fine today.
We'll never know.
Or maybe they were just taking it easy yesterday and then realized, okay, he's good to go.
Report. because the injury report is BS.
I just think it's weird, though, that Bernard Pierce comes out and tells the media, I'm going to play, and then he practices, and then the next day he's doesn't practice at all. I just think that's odd.
Yeah. Maybe the rest of
them. Just my little red flag radar detector going up, that's all.
The Wednesday practice is usually the most important practice of the week.
Agreed.
So he practiced yesterday.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're going to take it easy and do a walkthrough or do shells on Thursday, and he's not healthy enough to be doing that, then I think it's kind of curious, that's all.
I guess.
Because usually Wednesday is kind of your gung-ho, fully padded, you know, you install a lot of your game plan on Wednesday. And Thursday, I mean, it's not that Thursday is any less important. It's just usually more of like, you know, guys in shells and helmets going through, you know, different formations and different sets and all that. So, I don't know. I think it's a little less physical on Thursday is what I'm saying than Wednesday. So if he's not out there on the kind of the easy lifting day, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Weather for this game, Kevin.
Just going to be chilly. It's going to be good, but it's going to be chilly.
Yeah, it won't be anything major, right?
Maybe I think we're going to have some wind.
Just like right now, high of 42, low of 21, chance of rain 20%.
I think with the game not kicking till after 6:30, the actual game time temp will probably be in the low 30s and get into the 20s as we go along, which isn't terrible for this time of year.
Do you guys like the fact the game is a little bit later in the day?
I do. It just gives me more time to get ready, and you know, you don't have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is nice. But I like it. I love night games. And, you know, it gives you a chance to do some pyro and some cool stuff from an in-stadium standpoint.
Some flyovers? Will there be
no flyover at night. You can't see anything. But
now how will you keep track of the game beforehand, the NFC title game?
So I'll probably be in doing the pregame show for a good chunk of it. So I'll be able to see it. When does that game kick?
Three.
Yeah, I probably won't see the end of it. So I'll probably find out once I'm out there. You know, somebody, like you said, word spreads with all the cell phones and this, that, and the other thing.
I'll find it.
You can text it.
See, Todd, it's a good thing this is not the 1980s. Kevin won't be able to know what the score
so
of the
Bill,
game is.
Bill can be watching our game, and he'll be seeing me and, you know, checking my phone, and he'll be like, oh, that's
But, Kevin, didn't you say last week you put the end of the Seattle game?
They did. They took the last, like, 30 seconds of it, I believe.
Put it on the big board?
Yeah, they put it on the big board.
Can you do whatever you want?
They did that during warm-ups. Now, I think that had to be cleared with the NFL, and I'm assuming it would have to be cleared with the NFL for this game. What you generally see happen is, you know, that game would end, and you would show, like, a red zone hit highlight type thing afterwards.
Right. Like, why does – I just don't understand why the NFL has such a problem with that. Like, let the fans see the game.
Yeah, they're already in your stadium.
Yeah, they're already in the exactly. They're already sitting down.
Well, I'll tell you. Well, that brings up a much bigger issue, which we don't have time to discuss today. But just the whole notion of why go to a game anymore. You know, when you have the red zone at home, you can have access to everything you want. You can have a 70-inch, you know, TV for a third of the price of season tickets. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. So you would think, Bill, like you're just saying, if you've got the fans in the stadium, let them watch the end of the other game. You know, as long as, you know, it's before your game or before kickoff.
And one Think about thing, it from Kevin, this perspective, though.
Yeah.
Just one quick thing. So say, for example, you're the Patriots last week, and now this didn't happen. But say the game before you determines who you play or, you know, you have some sort of interest in that game, okay?
Like this week will be?
Yes, okay. Perfect example. And you're out there, you're getting ready to play, your guys are in warm-ups, you're going through drills. You don't want your guys looking up there, worrying about or wondering about what's going on up there. You want them focused on the task at hand. I can see why a lot of teams don't do that and why maybe we wouldn't do that this week. I can just understand. I sympathize with that situation. I'll put that
they
way.
Also don't want the players dancing to the game warm-up music,
no,
but
no,
you
I
still
tone
play
it,
music, don't
gotta,
you?
Yeah, just not gold records. I got to tone it down a little bit. I got to rein in my brilliance, you know?
Are you still playing that Rick Ross song, ballin'? Like
yeah, I'm doing the best I can. DJ KC up there, spinning records.
I know Brandon Spikes gets a head nod when that comes on.
Yeah, he had a great dance last game without music at all. Did you see that
in
front of the pile?
I don't know about that.
I love
dance. At first, he signaled first down for the Texans.
Yeah, whatever.
When he first did the dance, and then he kind of
the whole arm. I don't have that flow. I can't get into that. You know,
and plus it was a little ridiculous because they were fighting for the fumble behind him, And he,
which was great because he knew all the cameras are on this pile, so I'm just going to strut my stuff. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Instead of diving in for the fumble and trying to get the ball, he decided to dance with the cameras.
Oh, I'm just watching. Around the horn is showing the dance live right now.
No, they're not. Are they really?
Yeah, they just did. Yeah. I believe guys refer to that as peacocking now.
Peacocking. Yeah.
As he's like kind of puffing out his chest and putting his feathers up, showing off. I like peacocking.
You know, that kind of turned me off a little bit.
Okay, that's
his
fair enough.
His teammates are fighting for the ball behind him. Oh, he's dancing.
The referee had blown the play dead. They couldn't even challenge the fumble. It was
three or four more players jumped into
the pile.
Yeah,
it was a debacle.
After he was dancing.
It was a terrible call to begin with, but that's, again, another subject.
Kevin, I have one more question. Yeah. You know, since you're Mr. Inside Information. All right, yeah. You're the second game of a doubleheader this week.
Yep.
This happened last week in the Saturday games. What happens if the first game of the doubleheader in, you know, huge playoffs is overtime, double overtime? How far back do they push the kickoff of the second game?
You know what? I can't, in my 3 years, I can't really recall having been pushed back anything more than, like, say, 5 minutes from
our
original
time. See, I was
kind
of pissed off they didn't push back the Niners.
Yeah, I can't recall.
But I thought they pushed it back a little bit, Bill, and then they finally started it.
Maybe.
But you know what? If you're watching that Broncos-Ravens game and it's in double overtime, you're not changing the channel to put on the first quarter. So the NFL is doing itself an injustice because they're losing out on those viewers for the start of the game.
All right, but they got 70,000 people in another stadium waiting for kickoff.
And hey, you know what? They're already there. They're not going anywhere. They're not leaving because the game's 15 minutes late.
So they're going to sit there and move it 20 minutes back but not show them the game that they're waiting
they
on?
They should show them the game. I'm telling you. I need to get hired by the NFL. I'll set everything straight. Everything. NFL injury report, done.
Hey,
putting the game on the big screens while the fans are waiting in the game, done. All of this will be straightened out with Bill Enright as the next commissioner of the NFL. Sorry, Raj, but I'm taking your job.
You'll be in Roger's office in April, so have a talk with him.
I'm going to.
Then you can be related to the monkey lady.
Jane Goodall. I don't know if it's monkeys. I think it's chimpanzees.
Yeah, it's chimps.
Yeah. Definitely chimps.
Chimp lady. That sounds
Olivier,
better.
Our friend Olivier is on the phone. I'm very curious as to
how
what
are
he
you?
Wants to talk about. What's going on, Olivier? What's going on today? What do you have for us?
Well, I have a mental block. I'm not really sure if I should follow my IQ or my EQ for this game. My IQ tells me that we should win this game. But my EQ tells me that these guys are in some sort of a miraculous New York Giant-ish type of run, and
they're
motivated by higher forces than just pure football.
All right, I got two questions for you. One is, what is your IQ? What is your score?
I'm between a muscle and an urchin.
Good answer.
I think you have a slighter IQ, a higher IQ than me.
Is it over 100?
I have no idea. I was never tested.
All right. And then what the hell is an EQ? I've never heard of that before.
It's an emotional – you know, the IQ is the intellectual quotient, and the EQ is the emotional quotient.
Right.
So you have people that are very smart, book smart, and so forth, and other people are more street smart. So I think it's more of emotional than IQ.
Oh, okay. So which one do you generally go with in your everyday life?
My EQ.
That's not good for Patriots.
The disappointing part here. I look at a lot of similarity between what happened to the Giants and how they beat us, came out of nowhere, and started to perform on the road.
Right.
Now, you know, hopefully, you know, we will stop them. But
we talked about this on Tuesday, Olivier.
I heard it. Yeah.
There seems to be in this day and age, it seems like just whoever's the hot, lucky, both lucky and good, you know, team. Yeah. Makes these runs. You mentioned the Giants. Excuse me. You mentioned the Giants as one of them. And you saw the Ravens game. I mean, yeah, they were pretty good in that game against the Broncos, but they had a lot of crazy things go their way. Namely, Raheem Moore.
Yeah, and it's one play. One bad play, and that's how they, you know, they basically won the game. That's the stupid call on the, you know, the 60-yard touchdown that they catch at the end of the game. Now, I think that the Patriots' defense is much better now than how it was when we played them in September.
Right.
I think the offense is clicking, and I think that, you know, we've learned how to win without Gronk. And I don't know how much of a fatigue that the Ravens are going to have after, you know, flying all over the country and playing, what, 6 quarters almost.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, until what point we, you know, our up-tempo offense can actually, you know, make them tired where they, you know, they capitulate because we start to take the edge over the game. So,
well, that's basically Olivia, where I'll tell you this. Not only does Kevin want the Patriots to play in the Super Bowl, but yep. he also wants them to advance past the AFC Championship because he wants to meet you in New Orleans. Now, he told me that personally.
Yes,
so I know Kevin has his fingers crossed.
I've changed my position on the matters, and I'm glad you brought up the subject.
What do you
if
got?
If we win and you ask me if I should take you over to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
my answer is yes, under one condition. If
what?
Kevin can get us face ticket value tickets, we're going.
Well, I don't know if Kevin has that kind of pull, man.
Oh, he's got a lot of
pull. You might have to get him off the black market, I'll tell you. Might have to be dishing out $2,000 for those tickets, Olivia. You know, I'm an expensive date.
Oh, is this a date?
Oh, my God. If you're taking me to the game, I mean, you know, we're going to be sitting next to each other.
And by the
I'll
way,
clap
I hope
you.
There is a happy ending in this date, and I hope it means the happy ending is the Patriots win.
Yeah, that's the only happy ending that will
happen. But Kevin can make it happen. He's got some connections.
I don't know. Listen, I wouldn't be asking you to take me to the game if my producer could get me tickets. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You follow me, what I'm saying there?
Well, yeah, but there is still a financial transaction associated with your producer getting your ticket. You still have to pay for them.
Yeah. We'll see what happens this weekend.
What a great problem it would have to be. But I've noticed that Kevin is very quiet, so I assume that...
Nah, he left the room. I think he's watching around the horn.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay,
He's watching around the horn.
I thought he was being quiet. He was, like, hiding under some sort of a folder or something like that, but that's good. So are you guys okay? Everyone is okay where you are, and you excited about those games?
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Todd?
Yeah, I mean, hey,
you?
coming off last weekend, which was one of the greatest weekends I can remember, you can't help but be excited. Hopefully we can get – Bill, would you sign up for one of these two games to be, you know, like on par with one of those games last week?
Yeah, I think the Patriots-Ravens game is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be like a war out there. I mean, these two teams – respect each other, and I think the best team will win. Now, I just hope it's football and not like divine intervention, like the catch on the helmet in 07.
I think the Ravens used up all their luck last week.
Could be. It could be. Yeah. And last year, you know, the game against them, you know, their defense was much better than I think their defense is today. And our defense is better now than it was last year. And I thought that also last year, Brady didn't have a good game. The offense didn't click whatsoever. It was very, very, very difficult and sloppy. Hopefully, you know, they don't have the same problem. But either way, it's going to be a great game for the fans.
All right, Olivier, we appreciate
Listen,
your
thanks
calling.
Thanks for your hospitality again. I wish you a great day, great evening, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank
Go
you
back.
Very much, and we
See
hope you.
You
have fun this weekend watching the game.
Thank you.
He sounds pretty bitter about some of the luck that has gone against the Patriots in recent years.
I mean, the luck against them? They've been in the 5 Super Bowls in the last 10 years.
Well, they've lost a couple the two most recent Super Bowls. Bill, if they lose this, if they get to the Super Bowl and lose this year, they will have more Super Bowl losses than any franchise.
How many wins? 3?
Well, that's good. It'd be 3 and 5, I think.
They've had 3 wins. So what? The 49ers have 5 Super Bowls. Steelers have 5. Cowboys have how many? How
Steelers
many
have 6. Cowboys Steelers 5. 6.
Niners
5, Giants, Packers 4, I think.
Right. And then the Patriots are at 3. So they're in the top, you know, 7.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think, you know, he talked about the Tyree catch. He kind of compared that to the extremely fortunate play. I mean, again, last week, give Flacco credit for throwing that bomb, but it's a 70-yard bomb with 30 seconds
left. Well, that's what I'm saying. I really
that is,
think
how
the Patriots...
can Raheem Moore misplay it like that? Which is, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
So that's equal parts. Hey, give credit for Flacco for throwing it as far as he can.
Right.
But it's lucky, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Are they a team on a, you know, on a magic carpet ride for Ray Lewis? We'll find out.
All right, speaking of finding out, we'll find out what Kerry Byrne thinks of from coldhardfootballfacts.com about this AFC Championship game. And plus, we haven't talked about the 49ers and the Falcons a whole lot. We'll do that next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way.
In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriot scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASC certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill and Todd hanging out with our producer, Kevin C. Little DJ KC on that one. Todd, I will give you $50 if you can name the rapper who sings that song that he's currently playing.
Oh, that's Snoop Giraffe. No? No, I guess I'm wrong.
No, that wasn't. No. You want to take a second guess?
I don't know. 25
50
cents.
Bucks.
What?
$50.
I say 25 cents. I have no idea, man. Who was it?
It was Nas. Nas.
I was going to say Nas.
That's your homeboy from Queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
My
was.
Homeboy.
You can hate me now.
Nas. I hear Gonk is a big fan of Nas.
Gonk and Wilcock. Both like both like Nas.
And Weckler.
And Weckler, yeah. And Tom Brady's here.
Tom Brady's here. Yes, he is. Oh, my God.
What is going on?
I just get to these games already. It's been a long week waiting for these games.
It is, almost because the games last week, we were so excited watching them that you just want more.
You want
more, right?
Yeah.
You just want more, and you want it right away.
Well, you know, after this weekend, you get 2 weeks to wait.
Oh, well, you're not going to watch the Pro Bowl?
Probably, I probably won't tune in.
I don't know the last time I've watched a Pro Bowl.
Well, it might be funny to watch after last year. I didn't watch last year, but
Brandon Marshall had like 4 touchdowns.
Well, they played zero. They literally played no defense. It was pretty comical from watching the highlights that I kind of wished I'd watched a few minutes of it just to see how bad it was.
This could be the last Pro Bowl we ever see because I think the NFL is considering to take it away.
They've gone back and forth on that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if your boy, Roger Dodger, the commish, can threaten them into playing a little defense this time around or not.
When you're on the personal level that I am with Roger, you don't call him Roger, you don't call him Mr. Goodell, you just call him Raj.
Raj.
Yeah, there you go. Or Roger that. That's a little nickname that he told me he likes. Speaking of nicknames, the potentate of pigskin, Mr. Kerry Byrne from coldheartfootballfacts.com, joins us now on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Kerry, did you happen to catch the mayor of Boston botching the names of various New England Patriots players?
You know, his name's Mayor Menino. He's famously called Mumbles Menino because of, that's how he talks. He just never, he mumbles. He never says anything accurately. And he's famously illiterate, well, not illiterate, but can't speak. And that was a classic example here in Vince Wilfork's jersey.
Yeah, do you think Tom Brady here.
Yeah,
here we have Tom Brady here. We have Tom Brady here. And Stephen Ridley. I mean, another great guy. And Wilcock. Wilcock, yeah. Wilcock.
You
know, Hernandez. Hernandez is going to do a great job. He sets in for Gonk as Gonk's hurt.
Gonk is hurt.
We have the defense is coming together.
Yeah, so Kerry, here's the deal. Gonk is hurt. Wilcock needs a big, you know, they need a big game out of Wilcock, and Wes Weckler is going to have to step
up. Fun. Google Mumbles Menino.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He has literally thousands and thousands of gaffes like that. It's he just, he's
how
called,
does,
uh,
How does he get reelected?
Meany Ortiz was a famous one. I'm not sure if that was him or Ted Kennedy, to be honest, but he botched his name. That's what he does. He mumbles. He's the mayor. Mumbles Menino.
How does he get reelected? I mean, if I was as a Patriots fan, I would have some serious doubts about ever voting for that guy again.
You know what? The answer to that would be so loaded. you're talking to the state that reelected Ted Kennedy like 20 different times. So
sure. All right, Kerry, we've talked about the mayor. Let's get into these games now. AFC Championship. You're the stat man. Who has the statistical advantage in this game between the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots?
Well, you know, the New England Patriots do. I mean, the thing about the Ravens is they right now are something, proverbially, talk about mumbles. proverbially, this is karma coming back to haunt me, guys.
Yeah.
They're the team that is greater than the kind of the sum of its statistical parts, if you will. Because they were pretty much a slightly above average team across the board this season, as you might expect from a 10-6 team. They, you know, if you look at the 20 different quality stats we use to size up every opponent in every game and quote our insider, they were no better than number 8 in any one indicator.
Wow.
And, you know, overall, they were, you know, 11-12 on our quality stats power rankings. They were what you expect a 10-6 team to be. But, you know, they are a fearless team. They do have an edge. They do have an attitude. They do think they can go into anywhere and beat anybody. And, you know, the Patriots have the best home playoff record in the history of football. But, you know, the Baltimore Ravens came in here a few years ago and put a whipping on them. One of the three losses in Gillette in playoff history, or in Foxborough in playoff history. So this team's Baltimore's a team that knows it can win no matter what the numbers really say. So, you know, like we said, we put a lot of faith in our quality stats, but, you know, the stats don't play the game, guys. Demons play the game, and then that changes everything. That's all that really matters at the end of the day. And I do think Baltimore is very much capable of coming in here and keeping it close and perhaps pulling out a win. I don't expect the Patriots to romp over this team like they did Houston a couple times.
Guys, I saw a tweet a little while ago from Scott Kasbar, who's Captain Comeback, writes for Cold Hard Football Facts and Football Nation. He had an interesting stat, and it's not that surprising, I guess. But the home team on Championship Sunday is 56-28, which is exactly two-thirds.
Yep.
They win two-thirds of the time. And the AFC teams have won 6 straight at home in these Championship Sundays. So that bodes pretty well for the Patriots, I would think.
Well, what bodes even better is that they have the better quarterback. And sometimes the NFL is simple as that. You know, if you're the better quarterback, you're more likely to win. But with that said, Joe Flacco is an average quarterback. He really is. You look at his numbers, his career numbers, even here in 2012, he's an average player. But like the rest of the team, he does have a flair for that moment. There's a reason, guys, he's playing in his third AFC title game in 5 years. We say Tom Brady's playing in his seventh in 11. You know, Joe Flacco's right there with him, guys. Three in 5 years. So this is a guy who can win on the road. By the way, Baltimore, we talked about the Patriots, the best home winning percentage at 14-3, better than even the Green Bay Packers at the Lambeau Field on the frozen tundra. So we talked about the Patriots having the best home record. The best road record in the NFL in the postseason, the Baltimore Ravens. 8-5, guys. The only team with a better record actually is the winning percentage is Carolina Panthers at 4-2, but they've only played 6 games in their brief history, you know?
Right.
Baltimore, of their 18 postseason games, 13 of them on the road.
Wow.
I mean, this is a team that does it the hard way, and I think there's a certain confidence there that they can do it. And listen, you know, these games have been largely one-score games in recent years. They've split their last 4, and the one big beating was Baltimore coming into New England and beating up the Patriots. So, Houston might have been intimidated. Houston might have been caught up in the aura of the New England Patriots, but Baltimore's not, guys. It's simple as that. And the public gets the aura. I mean, the public is perpetuating that aura. The Patriots are almost double-digit favorites. I mean, the public looks at New England as this juggernaut that's almost unstoppable, and they put their money where their mouth is, quite literally, and believe that the Patriots can win big. The public has all kinds of respect for the Patriots, kind of, to me, diminishing what Baltimore's capable of doing, quite frankly.
Kerry, you know, Todd kind of has this theory, and actually one of our callers did too, is that a team tends to catch fire during the playoffs, and that is the way that they end up in the Super Bowl. Do you believe the Ravens are that team this year?
You know, I don't really know. Certainly, here's my caveat, okay, about that, and there's obviously truth to that. You want to be hot late, but when, you know, who catches, who goes into the postseason hot, who gets hot in the postseason? I mean, the Ravens are ice cold going into the playoffs, you know, but they are, seem to be hot in the last 2 weeks. But my caveat would be this. They beat up the Colts, who were really a bad team. That was not an 11-5 team. They were a team that pulled out some fantastic finishes to look better in the record book than they really were, as physically constructed as a team. And I think that was a real representation of who those Colts were, a below-average team that got beat up by an above-average team. So I'm not impressed by that win. And Andrew Luck, guys, was the most inaccurate. You know, the Colts were the most inaccurate passing team in football this year. Barely completing, you know, 54% of their passes. Andrew Luck, you know, was not, despite the last-minute heroics we saw, he was not an elite quarterback yet by any measure. I'm not buying that at all, and the numbers bear it out. And his performance against the Ravens, you know, beared it out as well. And then, you know, beating the Broncos is a good win. But, you know, the Broncos have only played two teams. They only beat two quality teams all year, guys. That was a team that might have been looked better because it padded its, you know, padded its stats against the weak schedule. We talked about it before the game. One, with Peyton Manning's ability to underachieve in the postseason, and the fact that, you know, you look at that Denver defense, they played five of their 16 games, basically a third of the schedule, against the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Browns, which made their defense look a lot better than it really was, apparently.
Let's move over to the NFC game, Kerry. We haven't really talked about it a whole lot on this show. Falcons versus the 49ers. The Falcons are actually the underdogs in this game, despite having the home field. Have you finally come around to believing in Colin Kaepernick?
Well, I'll tell you what. I have respect for the 49ers. The Falcons, who are 14-3, that really lose at home, 34-8 in the Mike Smith, Matt Ryan era, are underdogs at home for the first time since Week 5, 2011. So basically, in 2 years, they're home dogs for the first time. Listen, Kaepernick has been brilliant, man. We had to eat quite a bit of crow this week for saying that, you know, the Kaepernick decision was going to blow up for the 49ers against the Packers. But by the way, I don't know if you heard what Kevin Collins tells me, that you guys had an inaccurate prediction last week, too.
We did. We all picked the Broncos, and Kevin was the only one that picked the Ravens. I said he was being ridiculous. I kind of scoffed at him.
Yep, I heard it.
He played that clip over and over and over again. It was starting to get to me a little bit.
I know he was deliciously gleeful by replaying that, because you kind of mocked him, and give Kevin credit. We named MVP the Cold Out Football Facts show yesterday.
Kevin was the MVP?
Yeah, Kevin's the MVP.
Oh my good gracious!
He had a great
season. It's a big day for me yesterday, Bill.
I'm sure it was.
Drink it in.
Congratulations. I said, Kevin, you can either sound like a genius, or next week we're going to play this clip and you're going to look like a complete moron. And guess who looked like a moron? It wasn't Kevin. It was me.
Not only that, not that he got them, you know, listen, anyone can predict an upset. It was like the down to the right down to the way the turnovers would occur.
Yeah,
it was.
That's a great pick.
He was.
He had it. So,
you know, with that said, guys, you know, Colin Kaepernick's been on fire. You know, one of our great stats that we like to talk about is real quarterback rating. And if you look at the final four quarterbacks, Colin Kaepernick's number one. He has a 100.4 real quarterback rating.
Really?
Which measures all aspects of quarterback play. Because passer rating, you know, all those rushing yards he had against the Packers, passer rating doesn't count that. So
passer
rating, though we like it a lot and put a lot of stock in it, it doesn't tell the whole story because it doesn't talk about rushing and rushing touchdowns and fumbles and sacks. Joey passing, so our real quarterback rating measures all that. It doesn't dismiss or diminish all those rushing yards. And he has been, if you look at every quarterback of the final four, you know, the final four quarterbacks, if you look at their entire season performance and their postseason performance, he is the top rated passer among the final four. It's him, it's Brady, it's then Matt Ryan, and then Joe Flacco. And he, you know, for a guy who has literally half a season of NFL experience, to be rated more highly than Tom Brady, I think, is quite a testament to his dual threat capabilities.
So, yeah, what do your stats say, Kerry? What do your stats say then? Who's going to win this NFC title game? Who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Well, my preseason prediction for NFC champion was San Francisco. I kind of wavered at the beginning of the postseason, you know, with that postseason pick and went to Seattle, and that, because of, you know, Matty Ice's great 30-second drive, you know, it didn't work out for us. But, you know, the team I looked at the beginning of the year and said it's the best in the NFC was the 49ers, and I think they are capable of going down there into Atlanta and winning. But, guys, I've been doubting Atlanta all year. I've been doubting them all year that
you and me both.
They're not playing enough good teams. They're not blowing teams out. But you know what? They keep winning, guys. And they were put in an impossible situation against the Seahawks and pulled it out. And I think that to me is a character a testament to their character. So I think this is really a coin flip game. And even though the 49ers are favorite big, and I think I at the end of the day would expect them to win. Atlanta, I can't help but think that I've counted against Atlanta too much, and they should have done enough. If you won 14 or 17 games, you need to be respected in the NFL.
I agree. That's why I kind of believe in the Falcons. You know,
Well, you're going to unveil your big prediction here, and Kevin, you're on the hook too. You need to unveil your prediction here in the next 10 minutes too. So
okay. Kerry, you have the Patriots and the 49ers going to the Super Bowl?
No, I had the Texans and the 49ers in the preseason.
No. I mean right now.
Right now? Oh, yeah. The Patriots and the 49ers.
All right. Kevin has this recorded, so next week we're going to be back on air. We're probably going to play what you have.
All right. Well, you know, listen, I got to, you know, and then we'll, by the way, we'll have our breakdown of both games along all our 20 different indicators.
Kerry, I forgot to ask you.
Yep.
Did you send your friend the Texans chick a box of tissues?
Oh, no, am I supposed to?
No, I was just curious if you heard from her.
No, I haven't heard from her. I don't want to look like I'm rubbing it.
Yeah, that's
not,
that's
you know?
True. That's true.
Texans chick is the Houston Chronicle blog, Steph Bradley, who's got quite a following down there, and we've known her a long time. But you know what, Gapson, she took her lumps after the first game and came back on before the second game and really manned up, you know what I mean? You gotta give her you gotta give the girl credit, so. Well, womaned up as the case may be.
All right, so on record, Kerry Byrne, Patriots and the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Sounds about right.
All right.
Sounds about
what do you
right.
What do you guys got? What, can you tell me now, or do I get to listen to the
show? Oh, you got to listen,
Kerry. You
got
to listen to the rest of the show, Kerry.
All right. Well, I will tune in, gentlemen. You guys, I will be talking to you guys next week.
Thank you very much. Follow Kerry Byrne on Twitter, @FootballFacts. And check out his stuff, coldhardfootballfacts.com. Kerry, thanks for joining us and have fun with this weekend watching the game.
All right, gentlemen, always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Kerry wanted us to jump in early on our predictions. I don't know if I'm ready to make mine. I like
he wanted to break tradition.
I like hearing your predictions first and then making mine after.
Yeah, you
do.
So
that's my secret. I don't know if you guys on the previous 19 weeks, but well, I always make my predictions last.
All eyes are on, or all ears are on Kevin now because he's, you know, suddenly Nostradamus when it comes to these games. 4-0 last week.
I think Kevin should start off first, Kevin. Let's start off with the NFC game.
I think Kevin should start off first, Kevin. I like that. So we're picking the NFC game first?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Niners. Okay. I think their line is by 4, I believe, their favorite. They're road favorites by 4.
They
is that
are.
What I saw?
That is correct.
I'm going to pick them to cover, and I'm going to go with 34. I'm going to go big. I'm going to go 34-24.
34-24. Wow. 10-point victory on the road
for
San Fran. Mr. DeVries, what do you got?
I guess it's a good thing. I think I'm thinking along the same lines as Kevin here. I had 31-24.
31-24, and you have the
Niners.
49ers winning?
49ers winning.
All right, well, I have the Falcons winning, guys. I picked them last week. I'm going to pick them again this week. I think the Falcons are going to the Super Bowl. And I'm going to go with 28-20.
Okay.
28-20 Atlanta.
And what will be the key to the game? What will be the difference maker in that game?
I would say a special teams fumble by the 49ers, but that's too much like last year. So instead, I'm going to say Kaepernick starts off with a great game, just like last week. He started off with a pick six, finished with a great game. I think this week starts off with a great game, finishes with some kind of interception. I'm not going to say it's a pick six, but finishes with an interception.
Okay.
You know, he's only a second-year quarterback. A lot of pressure on him.
I respect that. I respect that. It is kind of a toss-up game, I'll be honest. I mean,
yeah.
It's at Atlanta, and they're getting no love at all.
Nothing.
No love.
In their hometown.
I'm just not impressed with their defense at all.
They shut down Marshawn Lynch last week.
Well, I'm not impressed with it, man.
I'll tell you what, Atlanta
does
really
gave up 400 yards passing to Russell Wilson and another 60 yards rushing.
Russell Wilson.
They gave up, Bill. Russell Wilson, right? He threw for 385 at 60 yards rushing.
Okay.
Colin Kaepernick, similar type of player, similar.
Right.
In that he can run.
Right.
So what are they going to try to do? Are they going to try to stop Kaepernick? Or are they going to try to stop Frank Gore? Or what are they going to try to shut down?
I feel like the 49ers offense is so one-dimensional, it's crazy. They only have Michael Crabtree as a receiving option. It's pretty much Gore running the ball, Kaepernick running the ball, and David Akers coming in on the field goals.
That's it?
Yeah. Have you watched their games this year?
I saw Crabtree become pretty...
That's what I said. Almost... Other than Michael Crabtree, they have nobody.
Well, I don't know, man. I think they can score points on the Falcons. The question is going to be, can the Falcons score on the Niners? Would that Niners defense show up or not? I think they're going to show up just enough. Should be a good game, though. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think you're going to see a blowout.
All right, AFC Championship preview. Kevin, we know you're picking the Patriots, correct?
That is correct.
All right, so what do you got?
I'm going to go outside the box here again. The majority of the writers and TV personnel that have made their picks on this air have picked a very close game, and most actually even picked the Ravens to come out hot and take a lead and the Patriots to have to come from behind. Mm-hmm. I think it's not going to be close. The game's never going to be in doubt. I'm going 37-20. I think last week was the Ravens Super Bowl. They put everything they had into that game. Between the travel, their age, the emotional letdown that comes after a game like they played last weekend, and also the fatigue, I think it's just going to be too much, and I think as this game goes along, they're going to wear down relatively early and start to kind of look for the keys to the bus, and I see it getting ugly.
All right, so your score is 37-20.
37-20.
Todd, what do you think?
Oof. I have the Patriots winning. The question is, what type of game will it be? Will it be what we've seen with the Patriots all year long, which is scoring tons of points, even without Gronk?
Right.
I think that stretch without Gronk, they still average 34.5 points.
They have.
So, you know.
Best in the NFL.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, is it Gronk or Gonk? I can't remember.
It might be Gonk at this point. Gonk. If the mayor says it, it's got to be true.
Yeah. So I'm going to go along with – I think that they'll win – score 33 points. I'm going to go with a weird number, 33.
Okay.
And I'll go 33-21.
33-21.
Patriots.
Both of you guys have double-digit victories for the Patriots. What you're seeming to forget is this. The last two times these teams have played each other, the score was a one-point difference in Week 3, and then last year's AFC Championship game – only a three-point difference. They play close games, guys. They have in the past. They will again on Sunday. So before I make my pick, do you want to adjust your scores?
Nope.
No. Even after all those facts I just spewed out?
No.
All right.
No,
I'm
going to go. I'm
a big fan of picking the spot, not necessarily the numbers.
I'm going to go with 42. See, I think it's going to be close, but can I say 42-38? Is it possible to get 38 points?
I don't know. The over-under is like 51, so the Patriots would be almost there themselves if you did 42.
Well, you went with 37. I'm only 5 points ahead of you.
Yeah, I know, and I went with the Ravens at 20. That's 57. That's not that far off from 51.
Well, I can.
I'm at 54 with mine.
54. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
42-38, says Bill.
Can you get 38? I don't want to say 38 if you can't get there. What would have to happen?
What, five touchdowns
and a field goal,
dude?
All right.
Bill's not a math major.
No, he's not.
I'm so bad.
No, the Ravens scored 38 last week on the Broncos.
Yes, they did, but that took double overtime. Oh, God. All right, 42-38, that's my score. I got the Pats.
You know, you went into that pick with a lot of gusto, a lot of, like, confidence. And
I
then
came
you
out like a
pick.
Lamb.
Yeah, you went out terribly. So, Kevin, now, because you are the golden god of picking these playoff games.
Yes,
you
my
gave us
child.
The score. You gave us the score. Now, give us a little insight. How's it going to play out? Last week,
I told you it's going to get ugly early. They're going to come out. They're going to jump on them.
Right.
And I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to get their footing. I don't think that, you know, Houston, the Patriots came out a little sluggish. Houston took that 3-0 lead, and then I don't think the Patriots scored that touchdown until pretty late in the first quarter to go up 7-3. But then they added on and made it 17-3. And you know how Houston had that punch? They came back, made it 17-13 at the half.
Right.
And you felt like, okay, this is sort of a game. I don't think you're going to have that feeling on Sunday. I think that it's going to be a fun day for everybody that comes. I don't think it's going to be really stressful, you know, coming down to a last-second possession or field goal. I just think they're going to absolutely beat the bag out of them, and that's just what I think.
All right, so, Kevin, you have the 49ers playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Todd, you have the 49ers playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yes, sir.
I have the Patriots playing the Falcons. Do we want to make one final Super Bowl prediction, or do we want to wait until we know the teams for a fact?
Oh, we got to wait now, don't we? I'll tell you this. If the Patriots play the Falcons,
yeah,
that'll be an absolute blowout.
Really?
Yes.
Still not buying into the Falcons.
No.
Best record.
That would be a terrible game.
Beat the Seahawks last week. Playing at home again this weekend.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
That I do not want to see that game. Please.
The Falcons get no love on this show. Zero love.
No. No love. No love.
Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco came out at the same time in the NFL draft, correct?
Did they?
Yeah.
Let me think. I think you're right.
They definitely did. They both had playoff appearances their first year. The difference was, I think, that Flacco has won the last couple of times, and Matt Ryan hasn't.
Now, the Vegas odds heading into this week, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill.
Yeah.
But weren't the Patriots just about even money to win the Super Bowl?
Hold on. Let me text my bookie real quick. Were the Patriots even money to win the Super Bowl?
I thought it was... I thought
Vegas
we saw this.
Come on with this.
Survey says.
Didn't you have this information, Bill?
Yeah, but I don't have it in front of me right now. I got to log in. It's like this whole
process. Well, Kevin, I think it was the Patriots were basically even up to win the Super Bowl.
I think you're right.
And I believe the Falcons were like 7-1. I believe the Ravens were like 6-1. And I think the Niners were 2-1. Does that sound right, Bill?
Yeah, the Niners were 2-1
at the beginning of the week. So it was
the Patriots were 6-5.
Okay,
and
which is
Ravens
basically
won.
Even up.
Yeah, even pretty even money. And the 49ers, yeah, you said it.
All right, interesting.
Let me see. All right, it's changed. Oh, soccer. What is going
Bill's
on?
Bill's other is the. It was the Super Draft today. Revs had
is
the
that
number
what
one.
This is?
Revs had the number one pick in the draft.
I don't know what is happening.
Wasn't the draft,
here's,
Bill.
Here are the
it
current
was the super
lines.
Draft.
The
go
Patriots
Reds, go.
Are minus 125. The 49ers are plus 125. The Falcons are plus 250. The Ravens are plus 400.
Wow.
So the Ravens are not only an underdog this weekend by 8 points, but they're also the biggest underdog to win the Super Bowl.
Sounds
Kevin,
about
would
right.
Would you be absolutely shocked if the Ravens upset the Patriots
stunned.
On Sunday?
I'd be stunned.
You'd be stunned?
I'd be flabbergasted.
Tear in your eye?
Probably more than one.
Yeah.
How about you? Bill, which of these two games would be more shocking to you?
Well, I'm picking the Falcons to lose. To win, I mean.
Right. So who would be more shocking to lose? The Niners who were favored or the Patriots who were favored?
I mean, I'm going with the underdog. I can't really say it would be shocking if the 49ers won. I just think the Falcons are going to win. It's obviously more shocking if the Ravens win. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. But you have it close, though.
Yeah, I do have it close, because all of their games have been close.
All right.
I feel like that's the easy pick. I'm going with the old gut on this one like I did last week.
All right, good for you. I hope you're right. We'll see. Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see.
6:30 Eastern time, Baltimore Ravens versus New England Patriots in the AFC Championship. A rematch of last year's game. The winner goes on to play in Super Bowl 47. We'll be back next week with a recap of all the action from this weekend. Go Patriots. Have a lot of fun this weekend and enjoy the games. Thank you for listening to Football Nation.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.